Our podcast will begin in just a moment. InvestTalk distribution made possible by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. When you're an InvestTalk insider, you have opportunities to learn with concise, simplified reports written personally by Steve and Justin. Important topics, annuities, wills and trusts, retirement programs, life insurance, an updated ETF list, and much more. Sign up now. It's free on InvestTalk.com. Now, today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Wednesday edition of InvestTalk. It is July 20th, 2016. And InvestTalk is dedicated to helping you achieve better than average investing results. So I'm here for some plain talk. I always want to be down-to-earth discussion of what's happening. And you know, I'm a money manager, a financial advisor. That's my day job. And then I wrap up my day with this 1 hour. So my day starts early, you know, about 5 a.m. and then it ends about 5 o'clock. However, don't think I spend 12 hours just working the whole time. I do take a couple hours in the middle of the day to eat lunch and go to the gym. So I do that. But I like it. That's why it doesn't feel like work all the time. It does not. Now, yesterday I talked about the parameters for judging the viability of a good investment. I talked about return on equity, earnings yield, free cash flow, payout ratios. Those are just price to sales ratio. Every company has pros and cons that you need to weigh and understand before taking action to buy it or sell it. Now, here are some questions you can ask yourself before you pull the trigger. Like, what kind of company is this? Is it a long-term growth name or a steady dividend payer with a long track record? Or is it one of those high growth stocks? Is it a big blue chip with a modest price ceiling? You're not going to get a lot of return, but you like those dividends. What kind of stock are you investing? What kind of company is it? How might this fit in your portfolio? Does it fit your risk profile? How much risk you like to take? Of course, companies with more growth potential also have a higher degree of volatility. That's a euphemism for they can go down a lot faster and then go up faster than the big blue chip steady dividend payers. So how many of those do you want in your portfolio versus the core holdings or the big blue chip? You have to make those kinds. What type of products or services do these companies sell? And is this business, what their products or service, is it viable for the long term? Is it susceptible to competitors? Is it something everybody can copy? What is their advantage? Like Coca-Cola. What's Coca-Cola's advantage? Its name, Coca-Cola. It's a brand that everybody knows. You come up with XYZ soft drink company, what advantage do you have? None. You have to build that brand over years and years and years. See, so what are the trends in the various industries right now? What's happening? Creative destruction. I've talked about that book forever. What is the trend? What's the new creation versus the old thing that's getting destroyed? Answering questions like these, that's what you need to do to assess the products of your investments. Each stock has to be looked at. First, you figure out what category is it. Is it one of the high growth screamers you're looking for, or is it the more steady eddies? What do you want? How much do you need in your portfolio of each? How much do you want? And you got to be honest. You got to be honest with yourself and your ability to know what this is, how to do this. Don't be dishonest with yourself or just pie in the sky kind of thinking. That's not going to help. You're not going to make a lot of money that way. You're going to lose a lot of money. And always learn from your mistakes. Now, do you have a question about gauging whether a company is a good choice for you right now or any money questions today? Give me a call. Check in. 24-hour listening line is always open. 888-99-CHART is our anytime number.
Hi, Steve and Justin. This is Mike from Washington. I'm just calling to get your opinion on what you think about investing in BDCs, I think they're called business development corporation stocks, what I should watch out for if I'm considering that, because I'm retired and looking for dividends, and I'm curious as to whether that would be insecure a type of stock to invest in or what I should watch out for. Appreciate your help and your program, and I thank you very much.
By their nature, these developmental companies that invest in startups and companies are, by their nature, they're high risk because they're looking for, you know, they pay dividends and everything like that. But generally speaking, these are high risk because they're investing in startups or mid-market companies that need financing to grow. So they're more volatile than the overall market. Therefore, if you're investing for dividends, you need pretty high dividends to make up for that risk. Don't invest in them if you think it's some kind of very steady dividend payer over the long haul. That's not generally what these companies are. Don't do that. Okay? Be very, very careful with which ones you're getting. Some are much less riskier than others, and you have to analyze them independently. Let's try answering one of our questions in the text format. Hi, Steve. I have a question about BP, British Petroleum, PLC. What's PLC and what is issued? What it issues, Schedule K or something similar? Also, is this a good stock to own for a long term? British Petroleum, everybody. We all know what the problem was. If you remember, you know, we're talking about the big oil spill in the Gulf that for years and years and years is costing them billions of dollars to pay for, and British Petroleum is all about and had been suffering. But it's a big oil company, and it's going to be stable. It's a $110 billion company. Sales have been falling steadily for 2 years because oil prices have fallen steadily still 2 years. What's interesting is their 2014 per share earnings was $3.96, then it dropped to $1.93 in 2015. Then $1.27 this year, but then next year is supposed to go up 110% to $2.67. Why? That would be my first question. It pays a 6.6% dividend, and that means it's 6%. It's a $35 stock, so that means it's paying about, you know, $1.80 to $2 per share dividend, and it's going to make $1.27 this year. So it's hard for me to want to be a buyer of this because of the dividend, even though they desperately don't want to cut their dividend. They have good, strong cash flow because they know that's what's keeping people interested in the stock. So it's come off its bottom, just like all the oil companies did at the beginning of the year. They all kind of bottomed and it's come off. And I like the big oil companies, big integrated oil companies at this stage. You might get a pullback, and any kind of pullback would be an entry point for British Petroleum. And what does PLC? That's just the name of the BP PLC. I'm not quite sure exactly what PLC means, but it is a United Kingdom company, so it has something to do with being from the United Kingdom. Because I don't see that PLC behind any company in America, so I'm not quite sure. I never really concerned myself with that. Only a third of parents are actually using 529 college savings plans, 33%. Why is that? How about you? That's one of the talking points today. Also, I want to discuss a number of topics. Saving time and money, how you can save time and money and just in many of the aspects of your life. Gold falls on the strength of the dollar. Do you see that today? Let's just explore that just a little bit. And did you see this article quoting a study by AAA saying more cars broke down in 2015 than ever before? It's not because there's more cars on the road, but why? You'll find this interesting, I think. And this did cross my mind many times, and now it's bearing out why this can be a problem. And be very frustrating for you drivers, me included. So that's what we're going to discuss today. What happened to the market? Well, it wasn't overly exciting, okay? I don't know how many people out there took a look at the market. Let me go here, I'm pulling up all kinds of information at the time, because my computers before the show went Now, just before the show, don't you just love that? It's my favorite thing in the world to do. Ah, boy. So the market was just up a little bit today. Nothing major on the indexes. It started off when we looked at the futures this morning. It was supposed to be up, and they opened up higher. And the market kind of got a little bit stronger and a little bit stronger, and then kind of tailed off a little bit at the end of the day. I mean, the Dow was up 36, the S&P up 9, but nothing really to give you any excitement. The NASDAQ was pretty decent at 1% increase at 53 points. And crude oil was, I don't know if you noticed, but crude oil's hanging around $44, $45, right around that area. And it's been doing that. So it moved from, remember the low was 26 at the beginning of the year, moved up to close to 50, a little over 50, and now it's hanging in around the $45 area. And I think, you might get a spike up to 60 before the end of the year on oil. Depends on the economies. It depends on the European economies and, the strength of and weakness of the dollar. Because oil is traded around the world in dollars. So if the dollar gets weak, oil will go up. The dollar gets weak, oil will go up in price. Dollar gets strong, it'll go down. Our InvestTalk Insiders program can help you with a whole library of informative webinars, topics about the cycles, how to recognize the cycles, harness the power of the market cycles. All this stuff is free and ready for you to watch and see or read. Join the insiders on InvestTalk.com. Just click on the InvestTalk tab. Our anytime number is for instant answers. It's open right now, 888-99-CHART. I hope to hear from you.
Hi, Steve and Justin. Love the show. Listen all the time. I have a quick question for you guys. I'm looking at a REIT index fund on this instable market here, something with some good return. I found one with Vanguard. VNQ, I believe, is a ticker symbol. Is this really that great? I've seen they're paying dividend returns 8-9%. Over the last 3-4 years, I've had returns of 60% or so. It looks great. The question is they it also goes for $90 and some cents per share. And didn't you guys mention once that when you have a high price for REITs, it means there's something goofy, I guess, about that with the interest rate it pays out? Wouldn't you want to look for a REIT with a lower price? I don't know. Please let me know. I look forward to hearing your answers. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Okay, so this is VNQ, which is exchange-traded funds seeking performance corresponding to the U.S. REIT index. And when you see that 8-9% dividend yield, you're looking backwards. You're looking at what it used to pay. For instance, at the beginning of this year, it was a $70 price on this REIT. Now it's $90. A year ago, it was about $70 also. So the yield is based on a lower, much lower price of the stock. Forward looking, going based on the current price, it's about 4% yield. 4%. Not 8-9. Because the stock has moved up to $90 from $70. So the question is it now overpriced? As you pointed out, it's now $90. That seems pretty expensive to me. Will this continue to rise? I think it's due for a correction, and if you really want to buy it, you wait for that correction. I'd rather much see you buy it in $81 versus $90. I think that would be a much better price. Here's a quote from Robert Arnott, an American entrepreneur, investor, and writer. He said, "In investing, what is comfortable is rarely profitable. What is comfortable is rarely profitable. But how much risk should you take? That's a personal question, but maybe we can help you find an answer. My direct line, 888-99-CHART. You can call right now and ask any financial question. And why don't you have a 529 program? About a third, 33%, of all families have a 529 program. What is a 529 plan? That's for saving money for college. Basically, that's what it is. Okay, and you can save up quite a bit for college. And the reason why don't you have it? Because 7 out of 10 families believe that it's important to save for college and that they want to save college for their kids, but only 33% do. So what is the problem here? Remember that 529 gets to grow, you know, it's tax-free. That's tax-free money. So the question is why is that? What is the problem? Well, 55% of people don't even have a tax-advantaged retirement account. So there's a large group of people that don't really have the ability to save the money. Either they don't make enough money or they don't have enough discipline. Then there's a huge percent, another big percent, that don't even know what they are. When they did a survey, they asked people, well, what is a 529 savings plan? More than 50%, okay? Only the figure is 34% were able to accurately describe what a 529 plan was. They don't know how it works is another reason. These are some of the reasons. And some people are just worried that it's too restrictive. But more than half think they can't afford it. They can't put money aside for retirement. That's why. But I tell you what, it's a good thing to do. If you start young with your children being young, it's a good thing to do. Because it's money that grows tax-free. Why shouldn't you do it? 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Here's another test question from Anderson in San Francisco. Hi, guys. Love the show. I'd like to know your thoughts on a good exit point for RH, which is Restoration Hardware. And I know that because we own that in our managed accounts. I bought it at 26 last month. It's about when we bought it. As a risky short-term investment, how do I know when to sell? Thanks. Well, if you look at first of all, we always like to look at the fundamentals of a company. That would help you decide how long should you keep it? How is it worth keeping? What is the value? And you know, RH Registration Hardware operates 99 retail stores, 17 outlet stores offering decorative hardware, bathware, furniture, lighting, that kind of thing. They're going to make this year $1.65, but that's way down from $2.73 per share they made last year, down about 40%. Next year, they're going to make $2.32. It's up 40%. Their sales have been growing and consistently be growing, but the growth has been slowing down for the last four quarters, from 17% to the most recent quarter, about 8%. Still growing, but growing slower. And thus, that slower growth and that fall from $2.73 to $1.65 from this year to next before they rebound in 2018, the stock took a big hit from $100 a share all the way down to about $24 a share. Today it's at 30. And this is why I bought it. It got beat up so much that it was a compelling value when it was around $24, $25, $26 a share. Now it's $30. They're going to make $2.32. Okay, with an average P of 15, that means the stock is going to be what? 23, 30. So maybe $34, $35 is the value with an average P. Return on equity is very good at 15%. So it's really strong. Now, it was up $3 today, up pretty, was it $3 today? No, $3 this week, $1.50 today, up 5% today. I think you want to wait. I think it's going to break above its 20-day moving average, which is sitting on right now, just come up to it. I have a feeling that you might get the high 30s. Now, how do you know when to sell? Well, depends on how tight you want to be. I'm still going to hold on to it, but this is not some long-term trade for me either, long-term investment. It's not. But I think I'm going to hold on to it. I think it'll get up to the high 30s. And that's probably when I'll start to think about exiting because it's then overpriced. RH, everybody, good, it looks like a pretty good solid company, as I said. It doesn't pay a dividend. That's not where you buy. Management owns 16%, which I like a lot. That's quite a bit. And funds are were slowly selling from last year to this year because of that steep fall. Remember, it went from $100 all the way down to $24. While earnings and sales are still growing, earnings growing next year, earnings falling this year, but growing next year. So I kind of like the company. I don't love it, but I'm not ready to sell it. So how do you know when to sell? Well, if I had the answer to that with a crystal ball, I could make a ton of money. You know, it depends on your what's your value? Did it meet your value? When this gets to my value, then I'm going to think about selling it. Bring your questions, share your investing stories. I would love to hear from you. We want to hear it. 888-99-CHART, how you reach me. You can do it right now at 888. We'll talk to Sonny coming up next.
Our podcast will begin in just a moment. InvestTalk distribution made possible by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. When you're an InvestTalk insider, you have opportunities to learn with concise, simplified reports written personally by Steve and Justin. Important topics, annuities, wills and trusts, retirement programs, life insurance, an updated ETF list, and much more. Sign up now. It's free on investtalk.com. Now, today's podcast. We continue now with this Wednesday, July 20th Invest Talk. And on the next Invest Talk, exchange traded funds that track gold have surged in popularity. What should you know before you invest? Gold funds, the gorilla of the ETF market. That's next time. But we still have time for your question today. Steve's easy to reach at 888-99-CHART. Check in right now.
888-992-4278. Let's talk to Sonny in Hayward. How you doing, Sonny? Want to talk about 529 plans?
Yes, Steve. How are you today? And thanks for your wisdom every day.
Thank you.
I want to shine some light on Plan 529.
Sure.
Between Roth IRA and 529, I'd rather choose to contribute to Roth IRA because there is no beneficiary in case your kids do not go to college or school. Then you're stuck with that money, and they're going to penalize you when you take that money out.
Yeah.
On the other end, if you have a lot of money in Roth IRA, it's pretty much parallel to the the growth is tax-free, and you can always cash out and help your kids out. If you need to. And the second point, when your kid's going to go to college, the 529 plan going to go against you. It's going to fire back. When they apply for grants and scholarships and they ask for the education aid, mm-hmm. when they look you have a lot of money in 529 plans, they deny all those. So it's actually work against you the way they set up this. If I'm wrong, you can correct me. Have a nice day, boss.
Thank you for the call. And Sonny is absolutely right. If you have money in a 529 plan, you're applying for loans or whatever, you have to use the 529 plan money first. Of course, that's what you designated to use it for. As far as you're going to get penalized or taxed if you don't use it for your kids, you can always change the beneficiary. See, so you can make your grandkids or your niece, your nephew, the beneficiary if you want. So you don't have to, if your kids don't go to school or go to college, and 529 is accredited colleges, have to go to accredited colleges, you can't go to beauty school or anything like that. That's the Coverdell. You can use the Coverdell for stuff like that. Whole nother conversation. But, you know, so there's another reason maybe why people don't like it. You know, because you're stuck. You don't have this much freedom with the money. It's okay. So, you know, frankly, I think what it does is it disciplines people into saving money for their kids' college. And I think a lot of people need discipline. They need it, to else they won't do it. Let's go to Mike in San Jose. How you doing, Mike?
Good, thank you, Steve. I was hoping you look at Pandora's chart, and I'm looking for a trade.
Okay, Pandora Media, everybody, offers personalized streaming music based on analysts of user listings, behavior, Pandora.com, and mobile software. Most people listen to music has heard of Pandora and know what it's all about. They are not going to make money this year. They're going to lose 43 cents per share. They made 9 cents a share last year, but they're going to lose 43 cents this year. And next year, they're going to lose 13 cents. They're going to improve. They're going to lose less. Sales are still growing very strong, about 25 to 30% per quarter, and has been doing that or a little bit more than that the last 2 years. So sales is doing really well. They made money for a few years, not a lot, and now they're suffering again. I'm not sure why sales are growing and they're losing money. So they're spending a lot more money. So one thing you want to look at, Mike, is what are they spending money on to make them lose money? And is it spending money on getting new clients and that spending will stop? And if that's the case, it's not a bad thing. If they're spending money to get new listeners, you know, to use their software. It's hard to evaluate since it's going to lose money. The stock is at $12.35. It was as low as, what did it get down to, about $8 this year? And now it's bounced up to 12. What is it worth? It's, for me, Mike, I wouldn't buy it because it's not making any money. Do you own it or do you want to buy it?
No, they've got an earning coming out after the market tomorrow, and I was thinking of a trade possibly.
I see. Well, it depends what those earnings. If it's not going to be the earnings so much as the subscribers. They're like Netflix. Are they getting a bigger base of subscribers? Is that base growing or is it stagnating? If it's growing, you'll have a price. It'll probably move up. The price will move up. If it's stagnating or slowing, your price is probably going to hit a big roadblock. So that's kind of like rolling a dice on that, Mike. It's who knows? I don't know. I can't tell from what I see.
Any support on a chart that says
yes,
possibly
it has really strong support, about $11.75. A lot of strong support right in that area. Okay?
Wonderful.
Thanks for the call.
Okay,
appreciate it.
Thank you.
Bye-bye, Mike. That's P for Pandora. P for Pandora. So gold falls today about, 1%? And the dollar got stronger. And that should, in your mind, if the dollar gets stronger, gold should be weaker. And oil, if the dollar gets stronger, oil should go down or be weak. Okay? The dollar, that should be kind of automatic in your mind. Okay? Because if the dollar gets stronger, commodities are under pressure. The dollar gets weaker, it's supportive of commodities. However, if we're talking about gold, you still have a very strong underpinning for gold because of worries about global growth, the uncertainty about the world growing. Here in the U.S., it's getting a little bit more certain that we're doing better, and that's why the dollar is getting a little stronger. But we also got that rate hike that looks like it's a little bit of a more of an increasing possibility before the end of the year. As our economy strengthens, or looks like it's strengthening, the Fed is going to worry less and less and less about raising rates. So, and the investors out there recognize that, and they react to it. So that's what we have going on today. Is the dollar going to get stronger? And you can look at the dollar. If you want to look at the dollar to see if it's getting stronger, one of the ways is look at an ETF called UUP. PowerShares, it's the UUP PowerShares, Deutsche Bank U.S. Dollar Index Bullish Fund. And you can see it broke above its 200-day moving average yesterday. It still has work to do to get above the number it was at the end of the year. Right now it's at $25.12. At the end of the year it's at $26.10. It moves in pennies, by the way, everybody. It doesn't move dramatically. It's not like a others, and it's much slower mover. Take a look at the scale of movement, and you'll see that. So it's been getting stronger. Why? Well, because, again, world growth concerns. Everybody else is not getting stronger. Europe is not getting stronger. You have the Brexit, and it's not getting stronger. The EU is saying we want to weaken our currency even more, so we had to go deeper into negative rates. Japan's in the same boat. So, yeah, our dollar looks a lot better, right? We're talking about our portfolio reviews, everybody. Why bother? Why do it? Why should I do a regular review? Why is it important? Well, if you don't monitor your portfolio, you're likely to underperform the market because things change. Even your portfolio change. Certain things get out of balance. Maybe it's not time to be in a certain sector, or maybe to migrate to some other part of the market which looks to be stronger. So you need to look at your portfolio. It doesn't mean you make wholesale changes. I'm not suggesting that, but you do have to look at it. If you want to meet with me to talk about it, I'll be happy to do so. I'll be in San Ramon and San Jose August 2nd and 3rd. Just go to investtalk.com and take a look at my schedule there. Click on the Invest Talk tab and then Portfolio Reviews.
Every investment must be assessed from the point of view of liquidity. Can I get the money out? Potential for success? Expected results? Potential for failure? How much can I lose? And how it fits with the other investments in your portfolio? So what's the best way to gauge whether your portfolio measures up? Talk to Steve. Call him now at 888-99-CHART or send him a note. Click on Contact Steve on investtalk.com.
Let's talk to G in Houston. How are you doing, G?
Good. How are you, Steve?
Good. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it.
So the question I have is, let's say there is an ETF for a foreign country, Japan, India, China.
Right.
And when our market is open and then we are trading that ETF.
Yes.
Then those markets are closed. So stock prices are not changing for those companies which are Japanese or Chinese. Then how can the price of the ETF change in the U.S.?
Well, it's just like here, if you think about it for a second, Guy. After hours, the stock is no longer traded on public exchanges. But it still can change hands. It just has to be reported the next day. So what you see is an ETF will react to whatever is happening. Let's say you buy a Chinese ETF, okay? And, of course, they're open when we're closed and vice versa, basically. Let's say they close and their stock market was down big. Well, the ETF of China that you own will open the very next day here down big. The first price will be down reflecting the prices of that ETF, of the holdings in that ETF. Now, it also depends, Guy, on the construction of the ETF. Sometimes, is it made on foreign positions traded here on our exchanges? Or are they foreign positions traded to tracking an index in China itself? You got to look at that. Most of them are tracking indexes of the foreign country itself. So that's how it operates. If the market there is down big, even though the ETF is not changing hands or not being traded overnight, the very next morning when it opens, it will reflect those down prices, the index. That first trade will be down. It'll open the next day. If, let's say, the Chinese market was down 10% one day, just got killed. The next day, your ETF of the Chinese index will be down 10%. The first trade, it will be, that's what it will open at. Okay?
Okay.
Okay?
No, that makes sense.
Okay. Appreciate the call, Guy. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah, so that's how stocks work too, by the way. Think about it. If earnings report comes in after hours, the market's closed, the stock will open up, and the earnings were terrible. The stock, the first trade of that day will be down significantly the very next day on the very first trade. Okay, because everybody will remember what the market is. Market is nothing but buyers and sellers agreeing on a price. That's it. That's all it is. And if they think the price should be lower the first trade, it's going to be lower. Now, here's a text question from Dennis, who listens to our podcast in Torrance, California. Hello, Justin, Steve. I heard Justin mention that about 20 to 30 stocks are enough for an adequate diversification. Does this mean that long-term investors are negatively impacted and have to have too much diversification if they're invested in S&P 500 index? And the answer is, if you're tracking an index, you're just tracking the index. It doesn't matter how many stocks there are, right? It's an index of the whole market. If you're managing a portfolio of stocks, you can be over-diversified. You can. You can be under-diversified. We say we like 20 to 30 stocks. We like buying about 3% of any one position. 3%, that means 33 stocks if you're fully invested. Why? Well, because it keeps you well-diversified. But you can also be diversified. You can make it worse by being over-diversified because you're not going to get performance. You might as well buy the index if you're going to do that. Why not? So if you want to be an indexer, that's a little bit different than owning a group of stocks, right? It really is different. S&P 500, is nothing wrong with owning an index for the long haul. Nothing wrong with that. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Love to talk to you. Some of the time-saving things you could do, saving time and money. One of the things that most people do not do, and this is a problem, that they don't set priorities of what needs to be done on your to-do list. And what happens is they do the things that are least important because they're easy, instead of doing the things that are most important. Another time to save money. I saw my wife just came back from Costco. Buy big, bulky items, a lot of them, for those things you use constantly, like toilet paper and paper towels and tissues. You know you're going to use them. You're never going to use them. You know you're going to use them up. So get them at cheap prices while you can. Bulk up on those. And this is one thing that I do. Prep the day before or the night before for the next day's labors. This is what I do at work. Before I leave work, I prepare for what I want to get done the next day. I put notes, I put things on my desk, and I put them in order of priority, what I need to get done. Too bad I don't always get them done. This doesn't always work out, but I try. My day, I don't know about your day, but my day is just full of interruptions. I have the best intention to do A, B, C, X, Y, Z. And then one of the reasons I like to go early is because I can get things done before the activity starts during the day. Before employees come in, before the phone really starts ringing. Even though our phone doesn't ring very much, I like the quiet time to get things done, personally. I'm registered investment advisor Steve Peasley. How much time and effort are you willing to devote to a portfolio review? And how often should you do it? How about just one day a year for 1 hour? How about that? You can do it with me. Let's talk about it. You can call me right now, 7 appointment, 888-99-CHART, or you can just ask any questions you want about the stock market, 888-99-CHART. We're going to go talk to Daniel in Palo Alto. How you doing, Daniel?
Hi, Steve. Good to talk to you. I will listen to you religiously on 1220 every day.
Thank you.
I just had a quick question. I'm just had a stop on GDX on my one gold position.
Yes.
And got stopped out today, and for some reason it put me in a wash sale, but I was wanting to wait for it to pull back and maybe either buy that or some other positions like Franco-Nevada or AU or Newmont.
Right. Right.
I don't know which. I know you all have some positions in your portfolios.
Yes.
And just wondered what your advice would be on waiting for a pullback and buying more gold.
Yeah, I would. I would buy more. I'd wait for the pullback. It looks like it's weakening because the dollar is getting stronger and commie's looking a little better. But I have a feeling it's just a short-term pullback and then we'll make another rally. It's done this before. It did it in May. It did it, you know, it did it in, let's see, March was actually up month. But it does this, and it now in July, it seems to be weaker in July because the market looks better, the stock market. The dollar got a little stronger. So I think you're going to get an opportunity to get back in it, and I would probably – GDX, everybody, is the exchange-traded fund corresponding to the gold miners index. So, Bruce, I'd probably pick a couple of gold miners themselves the next time.
Yeah. If I name some of them, like AU, Newmont, Franco-Nevada, I'm probably not mentioning the ones you have in your portfolio. I was trying to see if I could hit a bullseye. But,
we don't own any of those three. Any of those three. But if you send me an email and ask me the question, I'll answer the question. I just can't do it over the air.
Okay. I understand, Steve. Okay. But wait for some of them to pull back, get the specific ones.
That's right. That's what I would do. And I would get several, not just one.
Okay, you've got it.
Okay. Thanks, Daniel. Appreciate it.
Thank you, sir. Bye-bye.
Let's go to Bruce in Texas. How you doing, Bruce?
I'm doing wonderful, Steve. Thanks a lot for taking my call.
Thank you for making it.
You guys have been very educational to me, and I'm learning a lot, and I'm trying to apply some of what I'm learning from you guys.
Good.
Primarily, one of the things I was looking at is when you have dividends that seem higher than expected, it's too good to be true. It probably is too good to be true. So a company I was looking at, PNNT and SXCP, when I look at the key ratios, I see too much negatives. I don't see the justification of it, and that's what I'm thinking is the classic example of the performance data doesn't support those dividends.
That's correct, and your interpretation is correct. And let's take a look at the first one, the PNNT, which is Pentatech Park Investments. It's a $500 million company. It's a business development company investing in mezzanine and senior secured loans made to private U.S. middle market companies. And when you hear that, when you hear a business development, you ever hear business development? In your mind, Bruce, it should be the term high risk should pop in your mind. Okay, that's high risk.
Yep.
Because they're investing in companies that either have problems or just getting started or brand new or, you know, something's going on or they need more funding to do something. And they know that's what this company does, high risk. And that's why.
And I don't see how they can justify a 15.5% dividend.
Yeah. How are they going to pay? It's only a $7 stock, $7.24. But if they're only going to make $1 per share next year, how are they going to pay 15%? That's all their profits are more. They can't keep it up. That tells you they can't keep it up, right, Bruce? They can't.
That's right. That's what I learned from you guys.
Yeah. So something has to give. They either have to reduce the dividend, they have to really increase their sales and profits, and it looks like sales are slowing, not increasing.
Or they're going to have to increase their debt.
Exactly. Or they're going to borrow more money. Or they could issue more.
SXCP is a little more stable, but it's linked into Coke.
Yeah, Bruce, they could issue more stock, too, which they have done in the past to get money to pay the dividend. Not good.
Yep. That's what I learned from you guys, and that's the same thing I saw with SXCP, a little more stabler because they're into the steel business providing Coke, but still I don't see the strength there at all to justify a 16% dividend.
Yeah, just that's generally not true. Bruce, thank you very much for the call. Appreciate it. Our time is up. If you have a question you'd like to ask me directly, well, send me a note. I answer all my emails. Go to investtalk.com. That's InvestTalk with two T's, and click on Contact Steve. Send me an email. I'm Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. And for Justin Klein and everybody at KPP, thank you for listening today. And let's do it again tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor.
For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.